ready for you this morning, John.
Here we go.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Before we bring in our next caller, Bruce, let's cover Queen Palms.
Well, Queen Palms are another one of those trees that need to come with a bit of a warning. They do really well here for about 8 years. When they first get installed, they're beautiful, a contribution to the landscape, beautiful, elegant appearance. But after about 8 or 9 years, it's unusual to find some that are in excellent health. They tend to use all the available nutrients in the area. They don't have the kind of well-drained soil that they enjoy in their native habitat. That's why they do so well in San Diego and other places where you see them growing to be 40, 50 feet tall, because they have nice, well-drained soil. They love that. Here in our tight clay soils, queen palms struggle. I just wanted to mention that because there are some few things we can do to kind of improve that. We can kind of improve your overall soil conditions with basic soil amendments like some gypsum or soil sulfur, which can temporarily buffer the pH and improve kind of flocculate the soil, help to improve some of the water penetration in the area. But also you can fertilize queen palms. They do have some issues with manganese and zinc and magnesium deficiency. So these micronutrients aren't always available to the plants in our native soil. And so a good quality palm tree fertilizer might be in order for queen palms, kind of improve their appearance and give them a better chance of success.
Is there a different palm that we should just be looking at instead?
Well, of course, all your Mexican fan palms, your date palms do really well here. They're much better adapted to our soil conditions. You know, the queen palms are smaller stature palms, so they're popular. But yeah, there's other. When you go to the nursery, ask around for some of the options for a queen palm, because you've got some issues long term with queens.
All right. Well, let's tag along out to Bruce's house in Goodyear and see what we can do in his tree situation. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How are you doing?
Good.
What's your question today?
I have a citrus tree, a tangelo tree.
Mm-hmm.
We bought about 4 years ago and bought it really small, kind of a dwarf, about 2 feet high. And that first year it had some little pieces of fruit on it. And we got two or three pieces of fruit off that winter. And then the next 3 or 4 years, nothing, no blooms, no fruit or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We just started, well, a couple of years ago, we started watering it differently and putting a hose up to it. We water it once a week for about 2 or 3 hours with the hose.
Mm-hmm.
And
how is the tree doing in terms of overall growth? Is it increasing in size?
Yes, it's getting bigger. I just cut off some large rootstock, or what do you call them?
Suckers that come from the base?
Yeah, and I just cut those off this winter because they were huge, and I whacked those off. And
well, that's good, yeah, because those suckers that arise from below the root graft are from the rootstock, and you want to be sure you cut those out because they will compete with the sweet grafted portion of the tree. So as far as not bearing fruit, you know, fruit production is a function of energy, available energy reserves, and for various reasons, you know, trees will sometimes have to put a lot of energy into root development, into top growth, before they can begin to put those energy reserves or partition those reserves toward fruit production. So it's not that unusual to see trees take a little while to get established before they start to bear fruit. There are something else you might want to be aware of is that when the trees put on their bloom, you want to protect that bloom. If there's a wind event or a rain event like we had this year, we actually had some rain right when we had a lot of fruit on trees, and it knocked a lot of bloom off, which is going to affect the fruit set. You want to be sure that that's not occurring. Also, some citrus require another pollinator. They sometimes require another tree close by that's also in bloom to be able to cross-pollinate, to be able to produce fruit. You might want to consult Greenfield Citrus Nursery or Harper's Nursery and ask about that, because you might have a specific citrus variety that does require a second treat as a pollinator.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. As we bring Robin into the conversation, let me hit a few texts real quick that have come in. From the 623 area code, is Desert Gold Peach Tree do well in Arizona, and is it too late to plant?
Oh, they do great. Yeah, that's a very good variety for the low desert. And no, it's not too late to plant. You don't want to probably be planting in the middle of June or July. But if you remember those, the plants just need a well-irrigated root zone to kind of keep them nice and healthy. And if you're doing that on a regular basis, you can plant right up until, probably midsummer without any problem at all.
And then in the 602 area code, looking for a vine to grow on a trellis on the west-facing wall. Two questions that they're asking for, and one that doesn't flower or drop leaves. That's called a shade sale.
it's a tough call. All the west-facing exposures require a vine that's going to really take that sun, that late afternoon sun. I think of cat claw, rose banks, or Banks rose. There's other heat tolerant vines that you could probably consult a nursery for. But we just put in a bower vine, which does require a little bit less sun. But yeah, it's a tough one, to one that doesn't bloom and doesn't dump a lot of leaves. I would, if you can live with cat claw. I'm not really fond of the rooting and the spread of cat claw, because it sometimes grows where you don't want it. But it is one of those bulletproof, durable vines that can give you. It does really, really well in super hot areas. So you might want to look into that one.
And they were asking for an evergreen, but a deciduous would be just fine, because in the winter, that warm sun coming in, it.
Yeah, I'm not sure of too many vines that are deciduous. Most of the ones I just mentioned are all evergreen. Yeah, they're going to be. Well, actually, the Banks rose is a deciduous vine, but that the cat claw is an evergreen shrub, and it might do really well for that spot.
Rob, you're next on the line. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hello.
John, question for you. I live on an irrigation lot right around 20th Street in Bethany, and I just had the lot regraded, and I'm able to hold about at least eight inches of water when I do get my irrigation. So I'm ready to plant a few trees, and when I do plant them, do I have to kind of raise them above grade some, so that when I do get that 8 inches of water, it's not going to rot around the trunk of the tree, or how do I address that?
No, that's a good question. No, you shouldn't have to do that at all, because that 8 inches of irrigation water will only be standing for a short period of time. And it, within a day, 24 hours, it should be pretty much completely saturated into the surrounding soil. The risk of if it was sitting there for, days and days on end, you might run into some problems. But I shouldn't have to change the grade at all. What kind of trees were you thinking of putting in?
You know what? I'm actually looking at your website right now. I'm still open. I have plenty of space. I'm going to plant them 25 feet apart, and it'll kind of be along the curb line of the road, and it's about 30 feet away from the house. So I have plenty of space, and I want something that kind of...
Well, two trees that come to mind right now in your area, and for an irrigated lot, would be Chinese elm and chamel ash. They're both water-loving trees, and if you're getting that regular irrigation, they're just kind of a no-miss. They're, again, pretty bulletproof, don't have a lot of natural pest or insect or a pest or disease problems, and I just love the way they look. They're really nice for those established neighborhoods like you live in.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I am going to have to have you email me some info on the sisu, because I think the builder planted three of those between myself and the neighbor right along my driveway. And they're about inch and a half diameter trunks right now. and I need to get those out of there.
Yeah, you might want to do that. And maybe if I can get that article posted on our website this week, I'm going to take that information from that consulting report and put it into a kind of some bullet points. And Rosie on the House will also feature it and send that out to anyone who's interested.
And out of curiosity, Rob, are you in a historic district?
No.
Okay. The only reason I ask is that age of home and the irrigation and the location, it's probably pretty close to coming up for candidacy on the historic registry. Mm. And I don't know if trees play a part in and how that all ties in. So there might be something with the neighborhood to look into or keep a consistency, because those
sisters might be outside that.
Well, and for what he's looking to plant on the other,
sure,
on the rest of it, there might be something to keep consistent with the neighborhood.
Well, hopefully this informational bulletin that I'm going to try to post here in the next few days can be of help to people like yourself who need to kind of give neighbors a fair warning about the invasive nature of those sissies. So hopefully that'll be a help to you.
And white flies real quick.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a heads up. Right now, we noticed this past week that there's a lot of white flies in the ficus trees around town. We talked about this last year. There's a major infestation across the Phoenix area, causing a lot of large ficus trees to completely defoliate. We noticed the white flies are starting to congregate, and we're seeing, you know, these clouds of the white flies. We haven't seen a lot of defoliation in any trees, but if you do have a mature or any size ficus tree, particularly the Benjamina, you might want to look underneath the tree, shake the leaves, and see if you see a cloud of white. The white flies are quite small, so that they you might want to give us a call for some preventive chemical treatments to try to keep those under control.